Comments made on the Serotalk Podcast Network are those of the individuals and do not represent Serotalk Corporation, its staff, management, board of directors, or third-party resellers.
Welcome to the Serotalk Podcast, bringing you the latest in mainstream and assistive technology news.
www.serotalk.com.
Sponsored by Serotech, makers of System Access, iBlink Radio, and SamNet. Learn about the latest in technology, trends, and what's important to our community.
Plus, your comments.
And now, here's your host, Jamie Pauls.
Welcome to Serotalk Podcast 209 for September 2nd, 2014. I'm Jamie Pauls.
I'm Ricky Enger.
And I'm doing my lawn in the background, Joe Steinkamp. There is a lawnmower here. So.
That's actually a pretty mean feat to be a lawnmower and recording a podcast.
I have to say that I have learned how to multitask from Mailbag. It has taught me a lot, traveling with Mailbag, which I have done a lot of lately. But no, I like that it's our first show back after a holiday, and that's when the lawn decides to get mowed. Not during the weekend. No. Business day, business hours. There it is. So, you know, some people can schedule things really well. Other people have to wait for things to happen. Like, oh, I don't know, our first story. Can it be reader delayed?
Yes, and people are mad.
The same people who said, I'm not going to buy this thing. We're so happy to tweet, it's delayed. But I'm just letting you know, I'm still not buying it.
I will never purchase this, but by the way, I'm really angry.
I refuse to spend $99 today or in a couple of days or a couple of weeks when it comes out for iOS 8, which makes a lot of sense. We actually talked to Hi and James a lot about this, in fact, in July, was shouldn't you wait for iOS 8? Because you're going to get to use the camera API a little better. And so it looks like that's what's going to happen. I think that's kind of a good idea. It looks like also while I've been away, they have expanded the roster of the number of devices that may or may not work with the KNFB reader. I think this is still going to be your best bet to be on a higher device if you can possibly do so, whether that be a current 5S or, you know, a 5C or an i6 iTablet, something to that effect, maybe one of those things. I don't know. I noticed that iPads aren't completely mentioned here, and of course iPods aren't necessarily mentioned here either. It's mostly iPhones, so I don't know if that's a big deal or not. But I'm still interested in this. For the record, I'm in the camp of this looks pretty cool, and I want to play with it.
Yeah, I am curious about it. I don't know how often I would use something like this, and that might be the only thing stopping me from purchasing it, but it may be one of those things where I see people using it in all sorts of strange ways, and I'm like, oh, you know what? I need to get this so that I too can use this in all sorts of strange ways. Luckily, I won't need the KNFB reader for identifying money, though, because we have the iBill for that. And the pilot program for distributing iBills is sort of starting right now. So the deal is that, and we'll have a link in the show notes so that this makes a bit more sense, you can pre-order the iBill, assuming that you are an NLS patron, and they're kind of testing the pre-order process. So between now and late December, I think, you can pre-order one of these, and they will ship it to you in January. That's when the actual distribution starts. Now, if you don't have NLS, there's going to be a form that will allow you to provide some proof of eligibility, and you'll still be able to get this. It's just that NLS is sort of the easier route to go at this point.
I had a lot of time off while doing those conventions where I got a free iBill. Yeah, that was kind of cool. But while I was flying all over this great nation of ours, I was listening to podcasts such as The Tech Doctor with Renee Ritchie or The Latest Access Talk or any number of Mac speculation. I could listen to it on Ricky 4X Speed podcast talking about what could or could not come out on September 9th. One of the podcasts that I really also want to point to that has come out is the guys from the How to Be Blind show have put together All Access. And episode 17, in which they talk about iBlink for Mac. Thank you, guys. That was very nice of what you said. I appreciate that. That was really, really cool.
Also, in the way of podcasts, we have a couple of FS casts. Now, they're kind of doing something a little different this time around. It's that time of year where we talk about the new release of JAWS, or at least the beta of the upcoming JAWS, which will be version 16. And so Jonathan Mosen and Eric Damery are going to do several shorter podcasts where they take a look at the features of JAWS 16. And so we have kind of an introductory podcast talking about the beta process and the differences between the JAWS versions now, home and professional, kind of coming to, well, little differences in how that's going to work. And this next podcast that they've just released as we record this is on a new command search feature. So if you're a JAWS user, or if you just want to keep up on the state of assistive technology and see what's happening, definitely you probably want to kind of subscribe to FSCast, or you could just go to iBlink Radio and go to the podcast section, find FSCast, and there it is right there. You can just grab it as it comes out.
And it should come as no surprise to you that this podcast is full of the S word. Well, at least this particular section is, because there are Skype scripts done by Doug Lee. We're at version 6.18 now, so we have a link in the show notes to those Skype scripts, as well as a 12-minute audio description of how these scripts will work with JAWS. So if you are a JAWS user, you can head on out and grab those.
I really like what Doug does, because as a scripter, he really takes time to talk to people about how he writes these scripts, why he does certain things. He really does a great job of communicating with people. And even if you don't use JAWS, you might be interested a little bit in what Microsoft is doing with Skype. For example, in this 12-minute piece, he talks about the fact that the day is coming, and coming possibly the end of this month or the end of next, where you are happily, smugly using your older version of Skype and you think, I'm just not going to update. Well, yeah, actually, you will. Because Microsoft, you're going to log in someday and it's going to say, sorry, you're not using the latest version of Skype. So go away and update and come back and talk to us when you are running the latest version.
But
see that in iOS a lot now, especially in games.
I know.
Games that use a server, that happens a lot. Uh-huh. You should be using the latest version or functionality will be lost. Happened to me on one of the games I play on, I've mentioned on High Contrast, Marvel Puzzle Quest actually did that, where I was like, nope, you can't run this until you update. Now, what would probably be interesting is to have a Braille display there on handy to be able to read those dialog boxes that come up and say, sorry, you need to update, stuff's happening. And I could use the Vario Ultra when it ships. That's right. The Braille display that everybody was talking about from Summer Convention 2014 has not shipped yet. It's going to be imminent. However, you can go ahead and start salivating now, because the manual is up online that you can read to start figuring out how this will pair and what will be done. Some really interesting reading there. And of course, we'll talk more about that when released. As you know, we've had Balm on a couple of times with our Summer Convention coverage. So stay tuned to Sarah Talk for more.
I want a Braille display for every room in the house, so I can just keep one on my PC and have one for my iPhone and one for my Mac, and, you know, just don't ever have to unpair them.
You got to be careful with the kitchen display, though, because, make sure you wash your hands really, really well before you use that.
Well, something else I could probably do from any room in the house if I wanted with my trusty iPhone is play a game. And I probably need to finish A Dark Room first before I tackle this next game, which is The Ensign, which is a prequel to A Dark Room. And man, talk about some improvements in voiceover accessibility. That game has really come, speaking of A Dark Room now, has come a long way. Joe, I believe you actually review that one for a previous podcast? I know you've played it.
Yeah, I like A Dark Room. I had to stop playing it because once when you get out to the world map and you start, it's interesting at first because it's like, you know, blank is 6 hexes away kind of thing. And you're like, oh, the mine is only a couple of, I can get to the mine. And you start building more resources and you can go further and further. What's intimidating is to step outside of town and hear so-and-so city is 43 hexes away. And it's like, oh, man, that's going to take forever. And I'm going to have to go there, get a bunch of stuff, and then come back. It's what we used to do in the DOS days. And it's a great recreation of a DOS-like game. I enjoy it immensely. You just have to have a little bit of time to put into it, because some of the really neat stuff when you go raiding cities is way far out there. And there's a couple of mysterious things too, like alien technology. Ooh.
Well, maybe you could play this a little better and strategize a little better if you had a tactile map of what was going on.
I would love a tactile map for this game. It would make life so much easier.
Yeah, you might be totally you might be totally into that. And for some of us, that would do absolutely no good. It's kind of interesting. We just talked on the podcast last week about feeling, quote, three-dimensional things, like representing a cube as three-dimensional in a two-dimensional space, and how we just totally did not get that. There's an article from Jonathan Mosen that talks about something similar, and I found this kind of cool because he mentions that there is sort of a dividing line between the blind people who really find tactile maps useful, and it's like, oh, wow, this is, I can feel this and get an idea of what I'm doing, and those who just did not get anything from this. And he is like me as far as if it's a bar graph or a pie chart or something like that, that makes sense. I can get some useful information out of those things. But when it is a shape of some kind that is meant to represent some object or other, no, not so much.
You know, I kind of like maps. I remember being captivated as a young person with maps of the United States. And so I was looking at some maps from APH when I was at ACB convention, and actually may end up purchasing something in the future. But we have an article here that talks about a map of a different kind, a molecular map of the eye, looking at proteins and how certain proteins can affect vision loss and how vision loss can be treated. And I really, when I saw this and read this article, I immediately thought of the high contrast team and what you guys could do with this article and you know, similar topics, Joe.
As long as we don't have to touch it, gross. There was this training at the Division for Blind Services in Texas, originally called People Vision in TCB. And then after we changed to DARS, it was Orientation to Rehabilitation and Blindness. We love our acronyms. That was called ORB. And that would talk a little bit about this, that would then be referred to an eye medical training. You would then go to a training that had a bunch of learning about the eye diseases and talked ophthalmologists and that kind of thing. But in both, you get to kind of sort of feel an eye, you know, the iris, the cornea, and all of that. Yeah. Having more than 70 eye surgeries in my lifetime, I have no desire to do so. I'm not interested in such thing. I don't even like touching my prosthetic eye if I don't have to. I'm just kind of sort of like, no, I don't want to touch this. And so while I think this is really great, I don't need a 3D molecular map of it. However, scientists do, and that will make things a lot easier if they can have some comparison. It's a lot like, remember when they used to put people in liquid nitrogen, freeze them, and then they would like slice them like they were at a deli?
Yes.
So they could look inside them and see things that they could not normally see from looking top down into somebody during surgery. And then you take that and throw in the fiber optic camera when people were able to start looking from the inside at something. A lot of people do gain some perspective from looking at these angles or being in this situation. So having this data probably is really the future, genetic sequencing and all the sci-fi stuff we talk about on End of Line Show. So that's probably the future. It makes a lot of sense. Well, coming up after the break, Jamie is going to mourn the loss of a Microsoft milestone. Ricky is going to be a multimedia manipulator maven of the internet. I ran out of M words. And also, by the way, we're going to have one of those moments in, well, let me just say this. It's a transatlantic smell. Find out what all that is and mailbag coming up later in the show after this break.
HIMSS is proud to introduce the Blaze EZ, our new handheld multiplayer. Blaze EZ gives you power and versatility in a device that's simple to use. Blaze EZ is in a league all of its own. A 5-megapixel camera gives you the power to scan menus, brochures, and other printed texts. Wi-Fi gives you access to podcasts, internet radio, and other content. Bluetooth lets you connect wirelessly to an external speaker of your choice. And there's so much more. For more information, visit us at www.hims-inc.com. HIMSS, your needs are our solutions. Looking for a cross-platform solution to quickly convert printed materials and PDFs into text, MP3, or DAISY formats? Check out Cerotech's DocuScan Plus. For just $299, use DocuScan Plus on your Windows or Mac computer. Store documents in the cloud for easy retrieval and access them from anywhere. For more information, visit www.docuscanplus.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to episode 209, 200 more, and we will be a cleaning product. Okay, if you didn't get that joke, neither did my two cohorts here earlier when I mentioned
it. Took us a while.
Hey, yeah. I use Fantastic. I can't be blamed.
It's a shame. That is so anyway.
I use Fantastical, thanks to Lisa Salinger.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. This is the way these things work. See, you missed us. You missed this configuration. Yep. I know you did. What I miss is storage. Lots of storage because I don't have enough of it with, well, OneDrive and the lots of terabyte type things I have over at the Google Drive, and then Dropbox felt left out, didn't they, Ricky?
Yeah, hey, you know, we're Dropbox. We're really awesome and stuff, and they are, actually. It's just that everybody else was kind of more awesome than they were in terms of storage space. So Dropbox is like, hey, check this out. You and your 500 gigs and all that stuff, we're going to give you a terabyte of storage for $10 a month. So this is kind of Dropbox going, oh, we have some competition in this space, and they're just basically giving away all this space, and we sort of aren't. We've been a little chintzy with this stuff. So now what we'll do is, hey, $10 a month, come store a terabyte with us. And you can do some neat things like have a link that will expire at a particular point with the Dropbox Pro thing. And you can do a few other things as well. So they're kind of targeting people like maybe photographers who, I don't know if you're a wedding photographer or something like that, you want a way to share your work easily and not have to keep scrambling to, oh, I gotta delete this so that I can be able to share this with my next client and all of that. So yeah, good for you, Dropbox.
Who ever thought that we would look at gigs of storage? Like, eh.
Yeah, that's nothing. Yeah. 500 gig. Oh, please. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, whatever, Amazon. You and your 35,000 Fire Phones sold. Whatever. Yeah, don't need S3.
Go terabyte or go home is what
that's
I say.
That's right.
Oh, nicely like done. It. That is very, very nicely done. The 2 gig free storage option is still available as well. And it does say that for Dropbox, a lot of people wondered last year, you know, wait, they're file sharing, aren't they? No, they've been doing a lot of work in the background. And picking up some acquisitions to do things like mail and some other services that are going to tie into this. So for what Amazon is doing, for what Google and Microsoft is doing, Dropbox is doing also for the future to become that kind of platform. That just means that there will be a data center in everybody's backyard real soon. So that'll be very interesting. Lots of server farms. I'm moving to Montana.
It's like that Spinal Tap song?
I was thinking, for example, I'm moving to Montana okay. Where I'm going to race me some dental floss, but I was thinking of server farms somehow out there. I tell you what I won't be doing. I won't necessarily be putting up any nude images of people onto clouds of some kinds, maybe some iClouds of some kinds. Seems like there was a little bit of a kerfuffle over the holiday weekend. And 4chan was involved. Go figure. A lot of celebrities are so in love with themselves, they take new pictures of each other and send them to one another. And what do you know? Somebody used a brute force attack vector on Find My iPhone and got through that way and found a bunch of people's iPhones and their pictures and shared with the world. Isn't that fantastic?
Oops.
Fantastical.
No, don't worry about that. Don't worry about that because Apple is about to have this really great event and it's going to be the greatest event ever. So, you know,
you can see all these pictures on a bigger iPhone. See? Here you go.
With better display quality than you've ever seen before.
Is that a birthmark or a mole? Let's find out together on the new iPhone, shall we? Or a gigantic iPad. There may be a possibility of a giant iPad mentioned at September 9th. I don't know that that will happen. Certainly, we've heard rumors about the iWatch, and we've heard rumors about the NFC, and there was a story that came out over the holiday weekend about American Express working with Apple for Passbook and more about Passbook, and I've been hearing a lot of podcasts saying NFC is real because iBeacons has a lot of bleed through and people don't like the idea of transmitting at 30 feet where NFC, you just walk up and tap it and there's a physical interaction and that feels more secure. If that happens, that's going to be really funny because the Android community is just going to go, told you.
Yeah, they will. And rightly so. No, that would be okay. Yeah, you know, the biggest one in years. I mean, why? Because they're releasing new phones? Yeah, they're cool phones. Is it just because there might be two different sizes? Is that what makes this the biggest event ever?
Or maybe it's because the iWatch, maybe?
Oh, the iWatch, if it happens, yes.
New Apple TV.
I suppose if you put it all together, that's probably what makes it the biggest.
Well, they're having it at the place where they've had other really big ones. And so that automatically means that this is going to be revolutionary.
And they're building a secret pyramid right next to it. It looks like sort of a pyramid. They're building this building right next to the Flint Center. So that means the magic room is going to be really different. The magic room, by the way, if you don't know, is the place that they all go to touch the phones and stuff that they talk about on stage. That's where the press gets to fondle it. So there's a lot of signs pointing that this is a monumental thing. True, even numbered, I mean, by not a 4S or something like that, but an actual physical hold number is usually a milestone for Apple. That's a sign of a lot of changes or a definitive change. The antennas have moved, if these pictures from Foxconn are right. There's just a lot of things that are pointing that this is a big opportunity and an upgrade cycle, because a lot of people skip the 5S. So you're having those five people come over and look at the 6 going, this is it. What may be interesting, and maybe Apple will have to do a lot of spin, is that subsidies will not be there in the same way. And they have been warning for a year, people, that this might not be a $200 iPhone. This might not be a $258 iPhone. There could be an iPhone that's $350 if there are two types of iPhone, one cheap and one, well, okay, one cheaper and one expensive, because maybe Sapphire is only in this one, or maybe you only get this in this one. That would play into their style thing too, because they learned with gold. Even though it didn't look incredibly gold, everybody fixated on that it was a gold iPhone. It's the old Nintendo philosophy that also went on to the iMac. Certain colors really inspire people to purchase. Apple is playing around with style. There's a danger with that, of course. If you are a stylist, you can fall out of style or fall out of favor. It can limit your brand in a lot of ways. What seems stylish now will not seem stylish in 36 months or so. And some people believe the purchase of Beats was specifically for style concerns.
Or maybe that's what Apple wants you to think. You know, there could be all sorts of dissension in the ranks and people with conspiracy theories and all of that stuff. Just because Apple may have deliberately leaked a few things, or they may have put a particular spin on certain stories. We have an article here called Seeing Through the Illusion, Understanding Apple's Mastery of the Media. And it is a huge, I mean, there are 8 sections, I believe, each of which would be considered a fairly lengthy article in and of itself. But it is a fascinating look at what Apple does. And it really does do this like no other. How does Apple manage the press? How does Apple put forth this outward-facing vision of magical things that it does and not get shot down as often as other companies might? This kind of
sympathetic marketing.
How they do that.
Yeah, sympathetic marketing, which we've actually retweeted from the TripleClick feed, twitter.com/TripleClickHome. We've talked about that once or twice. The ice bucket challenge. There were a lot of people who kind of saw Samsung putting the S5 through the ice bucket challenge as, you know, it was kind of a shot at iPhone, but people just slammed Samsung. Oh, here's another attack ad. And so it's funny because Samsung is advertising like any other company would, and it has worked for them. But there is a bit of a backlash with the S5 attacking the iPhone. The iPhone is an underdog, question mark? Well, certainly outside the United States it is.
I think a lot of people just reacted to it as in, you're using this thing that is meant to raise awareness for a particular disease and you're using it for monetary gain. And I think they felt like that wasn't quite as classy as Samsung could have been. But I don't know what would have happened had Apple done a similar thing. I will say that this Apple era is far different than the Jobs era. There is a new head of PR. In fact, well, there isn't a new head of PR. There are two people that are sort of taking that on until somebody is named officially. but it talks about how the previous head of PR was kind of molded by Jobs, and she was a bit ruthless and controlling and, you know, had some of the same
the same
traits that Jobs had. Yes, the blacklist. And in fact, is it Gizmodo that is allowed back in now to the Apple
the
event after
the bar phone, after the phone was found in the bar and they leaked it. And Leo, I think, is back on better terms after streaming a keynote once for Twit with his MacBook Pro. And so
I was going to ask if you thought Leo, because I've missed a couple of Mac breaks. I've listened to the last one. But so has he said something that maybe indicates that he's...
I had heard from other sources on other podcasts that there's a cooling effect that's happening and that it might work. But, you know, he's one of those that is, well, you did it to me, so I don't know that I really care anymore. You know, and I, what I'm doing works for me.
He even said, you know, an apology might be in order, but he didn't give him one. So he's, he's stringing this thing along a little bit.
Yeah, I could do that. I probably won't, but I could do that.
I will, but I, you know, I could. This is, I mean, Apple's becoming a lot more transparent. In this article, they talked about the Maps fiasco and how that was handled way differently than, say, AntennaGate was
conference in Hawaii, where I tell you can have your little rubber stumpers to put on the side of your iPhone, and I am honked off while doing it. That was a classic Jobsism, you know, like, we're doing this.
Yes.
Here's your little freebie to your phone. Just can't believe we're doing this.
Why are you? I mean, all you have to do is not hold it wrong. That's all.
Yeah. Would you just, it's a design, you get stainless steel bands. Isaacson book has a great chapter on that. That's what we're referring to. So if you know your Apple history, you get an idea of that. But and if you do know your Apple history, then you know the Apple bingo card. And there were just things you could count on in events. I think Craig Federighi opens this up. It's the same as having a new doctor on Doctor Who. You can do different things because it's not the doctor that used to be there. You can have these character traits come out, or you can explore these avenues. Craig really opens that up for them. He has humor. He's very good with technical details. That's why he was so much in the last one at WWDC. He's just now their utility player, their go-to guy, because it's better than a video talking head of Johnny Ives saying how wonderful and marvelous things are. That just doesn't play anymore.
No. I thought it was interesting the fact that they deliberately came up with adjectives in the Steve Jobs era for each device. So the iPad was magical.
Yeah, see, I never
knew. The iPhone was revolutionary.
This podcast may have actually taken those words out of context on an episode a long time ago.
Perhaps, yes.
Yes, perhaps. And I'm all about playing the Apple bingo card, but I never put it together that they would be referring to, like, okay, we say magical, revolutionary, and what's the other one? Gorgeous and some others. We say all of that, but I didn't know that they were associated with particular things. Like magical is specifically for iPhone/iPad things. And revolutionary was, what was that? Was it Mac?
Well, revolutionary has been used a couple of times, but iPhones and iPods were revolutionary for a little while. They have interchanged.
Yeah, they assigned different adjectives to specific things. That was trippy.
And that helps you write marketing speak. That helps you with your message. And only when you see enough of these do you realize how much it was a plan or by a playbook. Look at what's happening, like I mentioned a little bit ago, about the 12.9-inch iPad rumor. If Apple was to do that, they would be competing with the Surface Pro 3. And the Surface Pro 3 did that to really compete with the MacBook Air, although you don't get a keyboard when you buy a Surface Pro 3. Anyway, there's a little bit of a give and take between the two companies on the high end. And no matter what Microsoft does, it will be seen as we're catching up to Apple, right? There is no way to compete with Apple on some forms because of the media, because of this rabid fanboyism that has been perpetuated over time. Look at the iCloud hack thing, right? And I've seen people on Twitter, that's not a hack. Yes, it was a brute force thing. No, get over yourselves. Anyway, the point being is that this is something that will be forgotten possibly even by September 9th, because people give Apple a lot of leeway and a lot of credit. I've heard people run down the Apple store, like just, I had a horrible experience at the Apple store. It's not like it used to be. Ooh, new iPhones are here. You know, there's just a lot of elasticity with the brand, and it's unique. Not since, say, Coke, new Coke, classic Coke. It took a long time for them to recover from that. But there is a different kind of feeling about brands nowadays, and some can get away with it and some can't.
Well, talking about getting away with things, how about just shutting down an icon? Something that many of us remember from our internet days of long ago, and that would be MSN Messenger, finally going away. The funny thing is I have young friends who've never used it, never installed it on their computers. But
it was for whatever reason the messenger protocol that I had the most contacts on. So I still have a bunch of MSN contacts, and they're just gonna go away.
Contacts?
Yeah, well, MSN Live, Windows. Didn't they go through? There's one more that I'm missing.
Yeah, there was a one in the middle. Oh, what was it?
Yeah,
not Essentials.
It went from. No, yeah, MSN Live Messenger Essentials. I will
talk about media manipulation. Double plus good, derivative chocolate. Pay no attention to the man. We were always at war with Eurasia. What were you talking about? Remember the Messenger Wars, AOL versus Microsoft?
Yeah, well, Microsoft made it so that people could sign into AIM, I think, with their Microsoft Instant Messenger accounts. And AIM at that time was like, oh, no, you didn't. You know, they were not happy about that. And they then kind of let go of some of that, I guess. And then you had, Trillion or some of these other Pigeon and things where you could, okay, I've got my Yahoo account and my Jabber account and my MSN Instant Live account and all of these things in a single client. And that made it a lot better.
You have a home internet service. We have a home internet service. You have Internet Explorer. We're going to go buy Netscape and then sell it. I mean, do you have a messenger service? We have a messenger service. It was, the good old days of emoticon battles.
That's right. And now
I remember my first bot.
Texts or tweets and things.
Yeah.
My first
or the
bot.
Facebook Messenger app that everyone loves.
Everybody loves, but gives a one-star review, but it's been downloaded like 41 million times. And when did everybody, talk about forced upgrades? How many Swarm apps have I started to see all of a sudden again? It was like, all of you had stopped using Foursquare. Guess what? You can go back to stop using Foursquare.
Yeah.
Yes. It reminds me of, we sort of had a family joke where my dad would eat something and complain about it. And I hate this. This is just absolutely horrible. I don't know why you made it this way. I am not a fan of this. Is there more of that in there? Can I have some more? I hate
Star
this.
Trek
Give me some more
moment.
Is very yeah. much that in terms of, Swarm and such.
I don't understand the breakout thing, right? Facebook is weird because they didn't fold WhatsApp in. They left it alone. They didn't fold in Instagram. They've left those brands kind of exist. There is this new trend that you don't necessarily have to absorb a brand to own a brand. You can let that kind of exist as a subsidiary. What Foursquare is doing is unique and strange because it's taking the thing that you know them for and are sort of spinning it out in weird sort of kind-ish ways.
Yeah.
Maybe their infrastructure didn't allow them to do things. Maybe it was a Skype issue where they had to kill the baby in order to grow stronger. I'm not sure. And that's a bunch of marketing speak I just threw out there. But what I mean by that is that maybe they had to phase out old technology in order to start something new. And in technology and software, you sometimes have to do that. You have to shut the door on legacy in order to move forward. And Skype is a current example of that, where in order for all these new features to happen, the old ones have to go away. We don't want a Windows XP anymore. And some will say that with the possibility of Windows 9 threshold next, this month, possibly at the end of this month, that's going to happen with Windows Vista and Windows 8. Because it's like Star Trek movies, for another Star Trek movie reference, where all the even ones are supposedly the good ones and all the odd ones are supposedly not good ones. So for Microsoft, it would be like 7 is okay, 9 would be okay, but you want to skip like Vista and Windows 8.
Yeah.
There's some symmetry there somewhere. I'm not exactly sure. Oh, and the lawnmower stopped. Hooray! Hey, I guess the lawn is done. Yay,
you were no longer the lawnmower man.
No, I'm. Oh, I hate that movie.
Yeah, do God. You? I like the story.
Yeah. It's one of those Pierce Brosnan movies that I am not too sure that I like. You know, it's the same as Dante's Peak, where they drive a SUV over hot lava and it doesn't explode or pop tires or anything. Yeah, I have a bit of problem with that movie too. Physics, whatever. Get in the way of story every time.
Right. Coming up after the break, I'm going to communicate better. Ricky's going to focus her thoughts, and Joe's going to follow his nose right here on Serotalk 209.
In 1977, in Johannesburg, South Africa, an 8-year-old boy picked up the game of golf from his father. By the age of 9, he was already outplaying him. The odds of that same boy then making it to the U.S. and European pro golf tours? 1 in 7 million. The odds of the Big Easy winning the Open Championship once and the U.S. Open Championship twice? 1 in 780 million. The odds of this professional golfer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. Ernie Els encourages you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Serotalk Podcast 209. I almost said the wrong number. I almost said 208, and that would have messed everyone up, including me.
Yes.
But we got it right. It's 209. The post Labor Day edition with a, I think, mailbag ate barbecue. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. And I would not be surprised by that at all. And it's actually,
for one thing, the eye reports are sticky. And that was my first clue.
Yeah. It smells a little bit like vinegar and molasses in here, too. But mailbag on the plus side is a little bit lethargic. So not able to get up to any hijinks today. That's always good. Didn't even have to use the tranquilizer dart. Let's see. What do we have here? We have first talking about the tactile discussion from last week, and we covered it a little bit this week, too. We have an eye report from Cherokee Eagle.
Hello, this is Cherokee Eagle coming in for a landing, commenting on the textured pictures thing. You know, for the longest time, I couldn't really get it either, and I'm not trying to say that now I totally can, but I remember trying to understand a cube and a pyramid and stuff, and it was raised line, and they even had, it was thermoform. Yes, I'm that old. Or do they still use it? Anyway, it was thermoform, and it had the shading and everything, and I just couldn't get it, and I actually didn't do very well in the unit in the class. But the next year, that same year, I was in a drawing class, and this teacher didn't accept the idea of can't. So he had me do a tactile drawing thing where I had to make the lines and basically where I could feel them. And then also growing up, my mother became a mural painter, and I would listen to her discussions of shading and different things. And finally, one day I got it. I'm like, oh, that's how they do it. So they do this thing where the shading makes it look 3D by shading certain parts and leaving certain parts unshaded. So it's almost like you'd almost call it an optical illusion. But it just this brought back all those memories. And so now I can conceptually get it, even though I can't guarantee that every picture I would understand, every raised line picture. But I just thought that might be interesting. And that's it. Cherokee Eagle signing off.
Well, that gives hope to those of us who are not naturally gifted in this area. So maybe it is a thing that can be learned, and perhaps the act of drawing, maybe with one of those drawing kits that I interviewed about during our summer convention coverage, maybe having one of those and doing some drawing would actually assist in waking that part of the brain up and making some of this make a little bit of sense. Next up, we talked about the Ice Bucket Challenge last week, and of course lots of people have been talking about that. Here is an iReport from Lewis talking about an aspect of this I hadn't really considered.
Hi, Sarah Talk Podcast. I just listened to Sarah Talk Podcast number 208, and you guys were talking on Roundabout about the Ice Bucket Challenge. And on one hand, I feel that it's a good thing because it's raising awareness, and apparently, from what I can tell, ALS isn't a disease that is very well known. And the fact that they've raised, I think it's over $40 million, it's quite impressive, and it's a wonderful thing. But here's my problem with it, personally. I live in California. And we're experiencing a drought, and the expected water supply is about 12 to 18 months before we run out of water. And it just bugs me that people are doing these ice bucket challenges in California. And I guess if they do it over, say, grass or some kind of plant or crops or something, That might be another thing, but a lot of my friends are describing to me the videos, and people were standing on their driveways or on hard-packed concrete, and that's just, I just wince, because that's just a wasted water, and again, we're in a drought, so I guess might be okay for other states, because I don't know if any other states are experiencing a water shortage, but not to be cynical, but in the long run, if we run out of fresh water, I mean, what are we gonna use? So yeah, that's my cheerful iReport for the day. I look forward to your future podcasts, especially when iOS 8 and Mac OS X Yosemite comes out. Thank you. Bye.
This is something that, again, I didn't even think about, and I'm sure a lot of people didn't. And water shortage is maybe one of those things that doesn't have very high awareness to begin with. You living in California are, you know, you sort of have to be aware of that. It's mandated. You have a certain amount of water that you can use, and it's a very real problem for people who don't live in areas where there is a lot of drought. This is one of those things, well, why would I think of that? You know, I turn on the faucet and there is water. And beyond that, I don't really have to consider this. But yeah, with the Ice Bucket Challenge, it would be very interesting to know how many people do anything to conserve water. Like you said, do they do this on their grass so that they can water the lawn at the same time? Or is it just, you know, woohoo, we're wasting water in pursuit of, you know, media attention of some sort. And also, so we have to donate less money to this charity.
I do agree with him, though, on being a part of a challenge or some type of thing. I like that it's at least not like this on Facebook or sign this petition, because that really doesn't take a lot of action whatsoever. At least there's some physical interactivity with this particular social media campaign. I like that it's raising awareness. I like that it's raised millions and millions of dollars, and that is important. But also volunteering with an organization or doing more than that or helping out an organization in that way is also very important. So if you do believe in a cause, make sure you work with that organization to see what else they could use, because sometimes money isn't everything they need. Ask the Red Cross.
So you know what I love? Buffets. Wait, I can't even say that convincingly at all. I do not like buffets. And, you know, part of the reason why might be discussed in this last iReport from Janine.
Hi, this is Janine Stanley. And I'm commenting on episode 208 of the Saratok podcast, talking about apps that we blind people would like to see. And I'll tell you what, I want one that will identify stuff on a buffet. We could call it the iNOMS app. I have no idea. But or iBuffet. It's just something that I could turn the phone on and point the camera at the buffet as I went along. I'm not sure how I would do this with a plate, a fork, and a device to get my food. But, you know, we could work that out. There could be a special loop you could put around your neck to hold the phone. I'm not sure, but the great frustration of my life as a totally blind person is surprise buffet food. So luckily, my husband, who's a partial, usually gets me good stuff, but occasionally olives turn up and ew. So, you know, if the sighted people really want to do us some good, there's an app that we all need. Thanks.
So yeah, knowing what is there on the buffet, and this is weirdly not just a blindness thing, because I've been with people and we're going through the buffet line and, well, let's see, that looks like it is some sort of pasta dish. This looks like maybe there's chicken and kind of some brown sauce, I guess. So it's not labeled for them either. Having the iNOM would be great.
Those are the worst.
Salad dressings, like you, they're it labeled looks like as Italian. Caesar dressing, and it ends up being all sweet like Thousand Island, and you cry, and maybe based on a true story.
Blue cheese versus ranch. Sometimes sighted people really cannot see a difference, and I have gotten the wrong one on my salad, and it has been a cry moment. Yes, I agree.
So what you do is you just get fried chicken, green beans, and mashed potatoes, and you're good.
That's all you do.
Just skip all those vegetables for the most part. Yeah, go straight to the protein, entree round, and moving on.
You don't have to wonder what that any of that is.
Like that classic King of the Hill thing where I'll have a burger and a steak, and Hank, you need a vegetable. I'll have macaroni and cheese.
Yeah. Yes. So I'm not sure how the iNOM would work. I think they could put QR codes on the thingy, and then you would just scan that. Because otherwise, the computer is going to have the same problem that a human does. Well, this looks like, you know, a cheesy substance of some kind, and there are five possibilities that this could be.
The cheese appears moldy.
Step Warrior away from the buffet. Badly. Run. Yes.
They obviously have not cleaned here either today.
There are three buffets, two of them fairly gross to you.
That is so true. Soup of the day is good luck.
Yeah, soup of the day is we threw everything that was left over from yesterday's buffet and put in some water.
Oh, chicken, huh?
My wife may or may not have shut a buffet down one night because a child stuck her finger in the chocolate fountain.
Ooh,
and she
reported
it.
Never go to something like Circus. All those kids running around. Putting stuff back up on the buffet. There are some times where I'm blissfully happy to not be able to see things and have other people describe me things does not make it any better. I just like not knowing. That is much better. I am very much of the, I didn't know that happened kind of thing. I was very happy living in my little bubble, not knowing that he licked it and put it back on the buffet. I just don't want to eat this stuff anymore. I just... Don't.
The funny thing was the little girl said, how come they took that down? And my wife said, well, sweetheart, you stuck your finger in it. Mom said, did you do that? It was like,
No, that's bad. Now let's go get a treat.
Precisely.
Uh-huh. May also have been based off a true story.
Yes. Confessions of a buffet. Non-enthusiast?
Yes, very much so.
Golden trough, the buffet story.
Yes.
Sir, no, not the steam tray. Simpsons reference, sorry.
Uh-huh. Well, we have a smorgasbord of that. We have covered all of the different food groups as far as podcast stories and I reports go. And I'll stop right there. That's enough. Yes. Resources at saratok.com is where you can place your order. I mean, leave an email. We'd love to hear from you. You can certainly leave an iReport on iBlink Radio from a myriad of devices, including iPhone, Mac, Android, iOS, Kindle Fire, and yeah.
Let's see.
BlackBerry.
Some people have recommended BlackBerry WebOS. I believe there's a couple of requests for Windows Mobile Phone, you know, as in like WinMo 5 or something like that. There's all sorts of.
I have a Nintendo DS. Can I?
Symbian.
I'd like to.
Yeah.
Symbian awesome. Operating system, which is now
for those of you still using a Nokia, what is it?
An 82.
Yeah.
I have a friend who, sadly, I think he had it stolen, or no, he had a bag that was stolen and he lost it, the charger. He still uses his N82.
You might want to talk to Steve Nutt. Yeah. Steve might actually have a couple of those things lying around.
Might be pointing him in that direction. Yeah. So all those ways you can get a hold of us. You can also go to sarahtalk.com, leave a comment on the blog as you're looking at show notes. You can go to iTunes and leave a review of the podcast. While you're there, you might go ahead and just on the App Store, review iBlink Radio. Every time a new version comes out, we need to review and give that good high review so that people will know that's a great thing to go and grab. Twitter.com/SarahTalk is the way to kind of find out what's going on and what just might appear on the next podcast.
Just thinking now, we should go get an Instagram account for hotel buffets.
We could.
Get our drivers, take pictures of that.
We could do the Sarahtalk YouTube channel with only audio.
Or just maybe pictures of buffets that go rolling by while the audio is playing.
Yeah.
Food and, that way people are looking at food while listening to us. That one might counter the other.
Let's audio boo 10-minute segments of the Sarahtalk podcast.
Hey, that would be great. While eating food. Do not do this thing.
See, I was already thinking about mailbag working the drive-thru, and that mailbag kind of sounds like a blown-out drive-thru speaker anyway.
Yeah.
It's all possible.
Anything is possible, including roundabouts. Well, you know, the PSA this time, our public service announcement, was having to do with autism awareness, and there's a good reason for that. The reason is because this first article in our roundabout section talks about a century-old drug, Ceromin, I believe it's called, a sleeping sickness antidote that's used in Africa, that is being tested in mice to maybe deal with some of the symptoms of autism. Now, as you read this, first of all, there's a couple things that I think are really interesting about this story. The one is that part of the description of possibly what autism is, they talk about the fact that cells normally kind of defend themselves from, you know, enemies, from things that shouldn't be around, and that it's thought that maybe these cells will abnormally, just kind of close ranks and basically fight each other and not let anything in at all. And this can cause this lack of ability to communicate with family and friends and other people around. But in certain situations, like high fevers, that can temporarily be lessened.
Yeah.
And so they're playing with this drug with mice and apparently have had some results, some positive results. They're quick to say that doesn't necessarily mean that this is going to work with children, and that the drug does cause some side effects like anemia. But hey, any work they're doing in this area at all is awesome as far as I'm concerned.
Have you noticed what I've noticed about these drug commercials lately, in that the side effects actually take longer to tell you about than the actual drug benefits themselves?
Yes,
yeah,
for
some
sure.
Some side effects may include death. What? No, that's a permanent effect. That's not a side effect.
Well, we warned you in the fine print, so, you know, we're
one
totally
the other day
okay
said, you know, usually if you have a problem, contact your doctor. This one the other day was something for like triglycerides was if you run into issues or have problems, go to the hospital, not seek medical advice, not go to the hospital.
Okay, like, do not pass go, do not collect $200.
If you're having some problems, we just wanted to get this out of the way. Go right in.
Thoughts of being a werewolf may be associated with this drug.
Allergies with silver may be a problem.
One thing I thought of when I read this story, first of all, it does say that autism is not most likely a single cause or a single group of behaviors. And so this is, it may address some of the things related to it, but, you know, maybe not all of it. But as I read this story, I thought about a fiction book that I had read a couple of years ago called The Speed of Dark. And it was written, I think, by Elizabeth Moon. And it was about a guy who has autism, and it's like 2025 or something like that. So, you know, at some point in the future, and they had developed a cure for autism. And the book sort of goes through his life and the struggles that he faces in terms of, do I cure this? And if I do, how much of me will I have lost? Am I the same person? And that kind of thing. And it was just a very great read. I thought it was pretty cool. But anything that can be researched such that people have a choice as to what to do and what to pursue in terms of addressing it, that's really cool.
Yeah, there's actually quite a discussion of, is autism, some people might almost think of it as a gift. I think it certainly depends on the severity and the type of autism. I mean, as you said, Ricky, there's quite a spectrum there, quite a continuum from very, very severe to people that, that function quite well in society, but yeah, do have this.
Facebook has been looking at people with autism and interviewing them for code positions. There was a lot of talk about this time last year that some forms of autism lent themselves very well to understanding computer code and city
just
planning.
Pattern recognition, that kind of thing. Right.
Yeah. And that they could simplify that in a way that other minds don't necessarily look at that in, like you said, pattern recognition. And sometimes you can, you know, go through the Kolinar and the Vulcan training and get mind training to prepare your mind for such things. I know when I was in rehab, one of the things that tripped me out was GPS really worked for people with Alzheimer's and other issues like that, because a lot of times those individuals can see a map in their head, but they want to go straight from point A to point B. They don't really realize that, you know, that street doesn't go all the way through. Why can't I just go straight through? They want to take the most direct route. They lose the ability to remap or reroute. And GPS systems were working very well for these individuals if they got too far away from home. That's really where the Find My Home feature came in a lot of these things.
And that's one of many challenges that can be faced by people with Alzheimer's or any sort of dementia. And there is, beyond the sort of practical aspects of this, there is the issue of how do you, as perhaps the person being the caregiver, how do you react and how do you interact in a healthy way with the person who does have Alzheimer's or dementia? And that person is still deserving of dignity and things like that, but there can be some major frustration as far as if you do have a disease like this, you may remember past events very, very well, but not so much what happened in the last year. And, you know, the default behavior for a lot of people is to remind the person, no, don't you remember? Blah, blah, blah happened. We moved 2 years ago. And it can be frustrating for both people trying to meet somewhere. So we have an article here talking about mindfulness as or mindfulness training, rather, as kind of a treatment in these situations where both the caregiver and the person with dementia can meet somewhere that makes sense for both of them, and they can still communicate without all this frustration of, no, this is my reality. No, this is my reality.
What color is the sky
meet
in
somewhere
your world?
In the present of some kind and just interact on a level where, you know, both of them can communicate effectively.
My uncle is a Korean war vet, and I see him when we come back from CSUN, when we come back from San Diego. And he is definitely more on target in the morning than the afternoon. As the day wears down, so does his ability to access recent memory or things that have happened earlier that same day. And I was learning that while talking to him, that he could describe with tons of detail what it was like to be in the service and foxholes and the weather and, you know, what food was like, but really had a big, big problem with what happened 4 hours ago as the day went on and on and on. Recent events, short-term memory was just really out there. And that is really crazy to, like you were saying a second ago about, you know, the book. It is weird to think about that. And whenever we talk, I think I've said on this show before, I'm not a big fan of wetware. I don't care what happens with artificial eyes. I don't want something mechanical in me if I can help that. I don't want to go that far. It's the consciousness loss of self kind of thing that always frightens me. So having not all of those faculties there, or there's a study where they are finding how to turn negative memories into positive memories in mice. That also trips me out because now we're back to the Matrix and, you know, I know I'm not eating steak, but my mind tells me that it's delicious. And yeah, that's some weird stuff.
Two things that come to my mind as we talk about this. One is if you've ever been around someone with Alzheimer's, especially if, you know, I'm not talking about someone who's combative or really, really confused, but does definitely have some dementia, that you put a baby on their lap. And that just completely transcends that because they know what to do with that child. They know how to interact with that baby.
Oh, cool.
And it doesn't matter that they don't remember what state they're in or as in physical state or, right. You know, who some of the names of the people are around them. That child in their arms is the now. And the other thing that's kind of cool is if you're around someone who maybe they really have trouble thinking of words, and so their sentences are very fragmented, and maybe even some nonsense words will come out. But when they read very coherently. So they're reading sentences that make sense, and that's kind of trippy to listen to that sometimes as well.
It's like different parts of the brain being accessed for certain activities. That is super fascinating.
Or they can play bridge, and as long as they're not interrupted, they can play the game. If something distracts them, they're in trouble. But as long as they can follow it and go ahead and just play it through, they're good.
So something like a smell could distract them.
Yeah, see, I was bizarrely enough, I had just thought of this and then realized, oh, that's a great transition to the next story. I wonder because smell is so evocative in terms of you smell something and you then remember something very, very clearly and you're transported back 30 years, if they could put the smell of something related to the person that you're talking to in the room, would you then be able to recognize them better?
Remember when we traveled to England and we went to that fish and chips shop and it was delicious? Remember what that smelled like? Here, let me send it to you on your iPhone.
Yes.
That's a possibility, apparently, from this article that's in the show notes at serotalk.com. That's serotalk.com. If you're listening to us on a Victor Reader stream or Blaze or some other device that is not downloading this particular podcast, you can learn about this over at the show notes. And I am not sure. Maybe you could get the Domino's pizza to see what it smells like before it gets delivered to your house.
Yeah. Suddenly, sales have plummeted by 480%.
Can I get a sniff of your hotel, please?
Oh, man.
Is what a lot of people said before they went to the Riviera. And now after the Riviera.
So the O-phone, I guess, is what this device is called. They're talking about using it to, you have to tell it. What scent you're sending to somebody. So you have to be all like, this has notes of bergamot and vetiver and all of this stuff that you may not even know. And
comes a wine tasting moment for phoning. Oh, good. I can't wait for that. Let me get out my thesaurus and the Wikipedia page to translate what the hell you just told me.
Yes. So if you can do that, then you can compose the smell. But most people would not be able to do that. What I thought of, and they didn't even mention in this article, was you could do perfume shopping or cologne shopping or whatever with this app, because the manufacturers already do know what the top notes and middle notes and base notes and blah, blah, blah are. That's part of the description.
It's a new form of marketing. Mm-hmm. I don't even want to think about what comes up on pop-ups.
Do you
smell
have foot odor
the
like this?
Ew. Use Right Guard or Old Spice. Don't smell like this guy. No.
Oh, man.
No, this technology can only be used for bad. I see nothing good will come of this.
No, the O-phone just is. It is not evil. It's not evil.
It's Smell-O-Vision come to life. It's better than a scratch.
Funny thing is, I've thought about that since I was a little kid. It's like, what if you could have Smell-O-Vision?
Did you ever? You know, Lisa talked about pop-up books. Did you ever have the scratch and sniff books?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Those are great.
And peppermint smelled the best out of all of them. It was the strongest.
Yep.
And popcorn smelled the worst because it kind of smelled like smelly feet or something.
Yeah.
Yes, oh, I had a friend. This is popcorn.
I had a friend that I would go see movies with, and she would always point to this one theater and say, oh, that's the wet dog theater. And I'm like, wet dog
Oh, no.
And she said, yeah. She said, whenever they cook popcorn, it smells like wet dog. And we went in one day and they started popcorn popping, and I was with somebody else and I went, oh, she's right. It does smell like wet dog in here. And like five other people walked out of line. It was like at the concession stand and they all moved away. And so my friend called me like a month later. It was like, I can't go to that theater anymore. You put it in my head. I didn't do it. Somebody else did it to me. I was just sharing.
You ever been to a restaurant where the plumbing's like messed up? I mean, you literally can.
Yes.
Oh, that's nasty.
I dated someone who would not eat at somewhere until they went into the restroom. And if the restroom was clean, we could eat there.
Wow. Have you been to a restaurant where it's hard to describe this, but the restaurant smells like soapy water, like somebody has just wiped down the tables, clean. But it has a weird soapy water smell? Like
Pine-o-pine. Yum!
No, it's not even that. It's like, okay, it smells like soapy water, but it smells like you used that same rag on like 60 tables and kept putting it back in the bucket. So it's the weird, dirty soapy water.
When did this become a Jerry Seinfeld segment? Have you ever noticed?
Yeah, we have a clothing store in this town that is right next to a Subway. So when you go into the clothing store, it smells like Subway. That is the weirdest thing ever.
Well, we have these gabardines and we have these capris. And would you like a BMT?
And you can also get a tuna melt. Yeah.
Would you like these pants toasted? Would you?
Do you like a little mayo on that scarf?
Yeah, there are cookies available as well. You might not fit into your pants afterwards, but we do sell these over here on the side. Would you like the combo meal where you get the shirt, pants, and a belt? You missed us, didn't you guys? I'm just saying, this is what happened.
If you didn't, you should have.
Welcome back. Thank you for all the feedback, by the way. You guys wrote some awesome stuff on convention, and it made it all worthwhile. All sorts of stuff, including our sponsors who made it very all possible, Hymns and Elegant Insights. We could not have brought you all of that audio without the help of those individuals. So do go click on those download links. If you love the show, if you like what we're doing, that helps us a great deal. Please go click on the download link because those are calculated and shared with sponsors. And that's how we're able to do a lot of this. So if you want us to continue to do things like BBA or AER or NFB-ACB, along with all the other stuff Jamie mentioned back at Roundabout, if you could just go over there and click on those links. And if you're listening on SBN radio stream, take some time out and go click on those too. That helps us out a great deal.
I'd like to thank everyone for joining us at the end of the podcast. Patrick's going to tell you one more time how to get a hold of us. I think we can safely say that we're back on regular schedule for a while. So you get to look forward to more of our shenanigans next week at the same time. So until next time, have a great week, everybody.
Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Saratalk. Visit us online at www.saratalk.com. Send an email to resources@saratalk.com. Leave us an iReport using iBlink Radio, available in the App Store and Google Play. Or call the Blab line at 1-866-997-BLAB. That's 2522. Join us next week as we explore all that life and the internet have to offer. Until then, may you have an accessible digital life.